Hello, everybody. You're listening to show three of Satellite Sisters Summer Splash. We call this one Finding the Fun. Half-tan dreams, marriage tips, you know, that's always good. I have a mod squad story for you that that I want to tell, and our after party from our 20th anniversary show. So now that everyone's heard the anniversary show, you can listen to the wrap-up.
All right, we'd also, do you want me to do the thanking of the sponsors?
Oh, you do the thanking.
Okay. We'd also like to thank our sponsors for this episode of our Summer Splash. Thanks for supporting Satellite Sisters. Okay, Jill, wrap it up. Just say the big words.
Please enjoy. And have some fun. You're listening to Satellite Sisters.
What's a satellite sister?
The person you call when the best thing in your life happens or the worst.
The person that gets you up, gets you going, and gets you through.
And every once in a while, changes your mind.
This podcast is part pep talk, part weekly check-in.
Like grabbing coffee with a friend.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Satellite Sisterhood.
I'm open to opinions on this.
Okay.
Because I feel like the universe is sending me signs, and the signs are Leon, buy a caftan this summer, you know?
Oh.
Because.
Well, like, who is sending the signs? How is this happening?
I understand psychic signs come in threes. So, and they all came from media. So first I watched the Halston show on Netflix.
Right.
And a lot of caftans there. Now the caftan, if you're not familiar with it, is sort of a loose and dramatic V-neck dress. It's usually in a silky fabric. Mm-hmm. Occasionally there's kind of an empire waist situation happening, but it's undefined. You have kind of big butterfly arms, mm-hmm. and you know, think like extravagant entertainers in the Hamptons or something like that, right? Yeah. That's when you usually see them. So Halston, I don't know if he invented them or if he made them very chic or if he made them high fashion, but in that, Halston and his cat.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I watched the HBO Max show Hacks, which I'm going to talk about later, but that involves caftans, a lot of caftans, which looks spectacular. And then I just finished The Gunkle by Stephen Rowley. It's coming out today, and Stephen's going to be on our Father's Day show in a couple of weeks. So that's The Gunkle is the gay uncle who lives in Palm Springs. He also enjoys caftans. Uh-huh. So there are a lot of caftans in that book. So I was like, I found myself on Sunday Googling caftans for short people. Because
this
is my problem. Yeah. I am not tall. And caftans, when you see the models, and you know how they have to do that now, like as if it's supposed to make you feel better, you get the height and the weight of the models. Like, the model is wearing size 00 and she's 100 feet tall. And you're like, oh, okay, right. Okay, I'm supposed to extrapolate what my size might be from that. So there are caftans on the market for short people. I'm just concerned I'm going to look really like I'm wearing a tablecloth. Or it's going to seem over the top. It's going to seem over the top on a Tuesday in Pasadena.
You're going to wear this out and about? Or is this just for your backyard?
I just want to wear it in the backyard. You know, it's hot here in the summer. And I do like to put on, I have embraced the house dress. So I have a couple of like simple house dresses that I can wear. I like loose clothing in the summer, but the caftan, it looks fairly elegant, but would it look elegant on a rounder person? Would it?
Why don't you start with a poncho? Because that's kind of like a starter piece. See?
That's a little warm in the summer.
I love ponchos.
I mean, I know you do. I mean, you could do that.
Liz, what do you think?
I think the caftan is in many ways the perfect post-pandemic outfit.
Okay.
Because it's going to obviously hide any pandemic weight gain. So that's good. You're not used to wearing fitted clothes for the past 15 months. So the looseness is good. And yet they can be super colorful and fun. So I'm for it. Now, the height thing, that's an issue, but you know, if anyone is out there making them for short people, Leon, I think in your backyard it would look delightful in your garden. I think you should try it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. This is Liz. This is some positive advice. I appreciate this.
But you asked for it. You asked for it. It's, I'm not calling you out of the blue saying, Leon, I think you should get a caftan, right?
And so, you know, but just in the backyard or driving around town in the caftan?
I don't know. I don't know if you get some sort of confidence. Once you start wearing it in the backyard, you get caftan
then
confidence.
You put some jewelry on and go, you know.
And a strappy sandal. And the next thing you know, you're wandering around town. Yeah. So
you're pushing your shopping cart in Safeway. In your
and then the next step, I guess, is a turban. I don't know.
Turban, yes.
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 Okay, that I want to see. That I totally want to see.
Well, it's if that happens, it all started here. So, all right, I am going to I'm going to investigate this more seriously.
Yeah.
Then.
I appreciate
getting the thumbs up.
I think you defined it, Leanne. Caftan confidence. I think you can. You just got to build that up in yourself.
I mean, Leanne, what are you waiting for? Which is my motto for 2021. I mean, what are you waiting for? Right. I mean,
right. Exactly, Julie. Exactly. Yes.
That's true. If there was ever a moment, it would be now. Yeah.
Moment is now. Thank you.
People will understand if they see you in the caftan and they don't agree with your decision to wear a caftan, they'll just be like, oh, Leanne had a hard pandemic. No.
Yeah. You know, also, Leanne, when you watch Halston, so I've now seen, I think, half the episodes, they look very easy to make. You know, he just lays that fabric on the floor and then cuts, snips a little here, snips a little there. You might want to try making your own.
Don't encourage Leanne to make your own. I think find a petite caftan, you know,
okay.
Something that's scaled for your height, Leanne. That will be good.
Okay. And I looked at like the expensive versus the super cheap. And I feel like it needs some tailoring. So I feel like the super cheap ones are not going to be good on me. Because I could just test one out at like $24.99. But that seems doomed to fail. So all right.
I might catch fire too. Some of those cheap fabrics are really flammable.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
What I like is that it does feel like you've done a lot of thinking about this.
I really have. Thank you.
Oh my God.
Well, I wanted to follow up because so much excitement from the caftan notification of a couple weeks ago when I posed the question to you, is this the summer of caftans for me? I had been inspired by some popular culture, by a book I read and several TV shows like Halston and Hacks, which has featured caftans lately. And I just thought, is this it? Is this the summer of the caftan? And I got such a positive response from the Satellite Sisterhood that then it was all I could think about is I have to get that caftan as soon as possible. Like I cannot delay. And my issue, of course, is that I am not tall. I am I was 5'4", and now I'm not even 5'4" anymore, which is concerning. But I know, right?
Yeah, that happens. It's not good. Yeah,
I know. So I was concerned. It would just be too long, and it would just be too much, and I wasn't going to find the right one. And people had fantastic suggestions. We have a lot of caftan wearers in the Satellite Sisterhood. Then there was a whole other group of people that warned me not to get a caftan because I was going to look like Mrs. Roper from the 70s sitcom Three's Company, who frankly has not popped into my head since 1979. But so I wasn't worried about that until people posted that I should be worried about that. But someone posted that they found one at Cost Plus, and I thought, oh, ding, 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 because there's a Cost Plus near me, and it was the right price point for an entry-level caftan. You know what I mean? There were some beautiful caftans people posted, but I wasn't even sure if the silhouette was going to work for me. So I thought $39, that is right. That's the right number for a cotton caftan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I went to the Cost Plus. I happened to be leaving my house that day too, which is rare. So I went to the Cost Plus and I purchased two $39 caftans. And I have enjoyed every minute of wearing those caftans. So I would say, yes, it was a good move for me. But Julie, you were right. When you mentioned flammability, okay?
Oh, because it's so drapey, you can't, near the stove, it's a hazard.
Yes.
I cook a lot. It's a lot of material, you know, and that's the point, is that it's dramatic and loose and you have these butterfly wings. And so the first night I was wearing one of the caftans, test driving it, and I'm in the kitchen and my 23-year-old came home from work and the first words out of his mouth were, "Whoa, what's happening here?" When he looked, at me, what is this? And then Barrick was like, "Huh?" Like he just didn't know. They didn't know what to make of it.
They were like, "Don't say a word. Don't say a word."
Yeah, just right. But I do find that it's a lot of material around open flames. Mm-hmm. So I would not barbecue in a caftan. Like I sautéing made me a little nervous in the caftan. So
thank goodness you don't smoke or anything like that.
No, I mean, my gosh.
What about votive candles? They could be dangerous too. I know you have a lot of those in your house.
Well, you often hear it's like hostess wear. You're supposed to put on your fancy caftan to be a hostess. And I think that must be a party where you have full help. Because then you can't even like clear a table because it's a lot of material. So
because then your sleeves are falling and dipping sauces and all stuff like that.
Yes.
Yeah. And you can't wear an apron with a caftan.
No, that's Julie, that would just, well, that, I mean, you could, but you'd really look foolish. I would look really foolish. So
that is not a flattering silhouette at all.
No. So I would say the highest and best use of the caftan for me is when you really don't have to do anything. Like Sunday night, it was peak caftan moment. I had taken a nice swim in the pool. Liz, you drove out. We had a swim. We had a long swim in my pool and a dip in the hot tub, fully relaxed. Then I was going out to dinner. So I had an hour to kill. And that was perfect. Post-swim, put on the caftan, poured a nice glass of iced tea, and read a book for an hour. Perfect use of the perfect use of the caftan. And it's nice for after dinner lounging, but it's not I find the long caftan a little tough to cook in. So that's my cautionary tale. Someone asked, can I wear a caftan to a wedding? And you could, but I think you would knock over all the wine glasses at the table, like just trying. And then dancing in a caftan, that is also hard for me to imagine.
Oh, yeah.
But
so
lounging,
do you think they're going to be, are you going to continue to acquire caftans? Or
I think
how
I
many
have
caftans
two.
Do you have to have?
Yeah.
Have a caftan lifestyle, I guess.
I only have two. I think that's good for me with my limited usage. I think it's good for me. Like, unless I went on a 9-month cruise somewhere, and again, that I get a few more.
Yeah. But, it could be the perfect signal to both your son and your husband, Leanne, that you're off duty, right? Because
that's true, Liz.
You're not cooking, you're not serving, when mom's got the caftan on, just back off. She's done. It's caftan time. So I think you could get everyone trained to respect caftan time.
Okay. That's Liz, that's a good point. That's a good point. I'm going to work on that. But I do appreciate the enthusiasm and all the questions and all the responses and the suggestions. So thank you so much. I'm a proud caftan owner now. Thank you.
Liz, we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do.
because
there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah, any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leanne, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you are going to be happy, okay? And that's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge.
So in the meantime, you immediately started posting all of these fantastic photos of, you know, of what you were doing to listen and party at your house. You know, some of you were with your Satellite Sisters. Some of you were pre-partying with your Satellite Sisters on Zoom before the actual party.
That was fun to see. Yes.
I love those. And there were quite a few people drinking the Golden Buzz, Leah.
Yes. So a lot of that has popped up in the Satellite Sisters Facebook group, but if you're not a member, you can become a member. You can go do that, but that's a closed group. So we would love for anyone that has photos to post them on Instagram. So just if you post on Instagram, post them there and use the hashtag SatSistersCelebration, because we want to see as many of these photos as we can, especially the really good ones of us on the screen, because we think we came out pretty well in this whole thing. And people had some very cute pictures of us making the toast. There were also pictures that someone posted in the Facebook group when we had Nancy, our trivia contest player, when she was on the screen. So there's a good one of the six of us. Then when we introduced some of our previous production helpers, including our very own Sergio Enriquez, people posted photos of what the crew looked like. So anyone who's on Instagram, we would love to see as many of the photos as you've got, and just use the hashtag SatSistersCelebration.
Yeah, we'd love that. That'd be great. Those photos were really fun to see.
Yeah.
All right. So we thought we'd go through a little behind the scenes. And then Julie, you have your top five moments mm-hmm. from the anniversary show. Yeah. Liz has some recaps. And then I have some comments from the chat, which was fun. They even saved the chat for us, so we were able to read through the chat. But, you know, behind the scenes, we've been working on this. Well, you know, we planned it for a live event in 2020. It didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And then in the fall, we moved it to this virtual event. But these events, even though we're all so used to Zoom now, there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes to get the platform right and to get the ticketing right. We did tech checks for everybody. We did tech checks for the crew, tech checks for Nancy, who came on to do this, to do the trivia contest. And then the sisters, we had our own production meetings and a Google Doc going, and people were timing things. And then, you know, near the end, we called our colors. Well, who's going to wear what? We don't want.
Yeah, we didn't all want to end up on the screen with blue tops on, right?
Yeah, there was some color switching the last week.
I know, there was some panicking there. You're right. I know. Sheila went back and forth, but I think she came out as a real winner. Yep.
You know, it was funny. I handed in my manuscript Friday at 4:00. And I realized at that time, I had literally not left my house in 10 days because of I had not left my house in 10 days other than to walk the dog. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm going to go to Chico's and get a fresh top for the celebration. So that's exactly what I did, because we had been talking about Chico's last week on the show. I just thought that would be fun. So that's what, you know, my last minute switch was my big 10-day, first time in 10-day outing. Mm-hmm. And then we had a rehearsal with the people at Sixth and I, and then we had, you know, rehearsal Sunday morning, any last minute changes. We always try to keep an element of surprise. So even though we have a rundown and there's sort of a script, people were withholding things so we could react.
So that it would be fresh and natural.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. And all that is to say, and people said, you should do this every week. That's why that's not going to happen.
I don't think that's possible.
but it was just fun. We needed all that. So I think by the time we were ready to go Sunday night, everyone was so excited. I mean, I was ready. We were ready.
We were ready. And it was. And even though we had sort of planned it out, much of it was spontaneous, which is the fun part for us. And we hope the fun part for you. So that was great. But it's weird, you know, talking into Zoom. I guess it's a little bit like doing the podcast. When we do the podcast, we're trying to be entertaining and fun, but we don't know if you're laughing. That's what Zoom is like too. And everyone knows that now, because you've been Zooming for a year, like you, because you're not getting the reaction. So it was super fun for me just to be able to look at the four of you so we could at least get reactions from each other.
Because we never look at each other when we're doing the podcast. I mean, we could have our cameras on right now, but we don't.
You know, though, it's just a different energy, though, putting it out in Zoom. It's the same amount of performance energy, I think, as a live event, having done now, you know, about 75 virtual events over the last year for the Sweeney Sisters. But it's different. Like, you're just, you know, emoting into the void, and you're hoping that people are enjoying it, but you don't really know. So I think that, you know, no audience feedback means it's like you're doubling up on your energy. That's what I found. I mean, I was wiped out Sunday night after the event. I was totally wiped out. But then again,
it was so exciting. For me, one of the highlights certainly was right up top, was to see the live chat. Now, we couldn't really, you know, I didn't want to focus on the live chat while we were doing the show, because that would be too distracting. But right at the beginning, when people were signing on, it was so exciting to see everybody logging on from so many different places, so many exclamation points on the live chat, right?
Yes.
I mean, we had over 1,100 people that were there. You know, wasn't that thrilling?
It was so exciting. It was even I was watching the counter, the participant counter, and it's like, okay, 50, and then it's 300.
Oh, yeah.
800. Yeah. And we really couldn't believe it. We literally had no idea this many people would turn up. So thank you for that.
Thank you. We just loved seeing where you were listening from, you know, so many states, different countries. That was thrilling. The next thing that really struck me, I love the Satellite Sister quiz, and hats off to our contestant, Nancy, who did such a fantastic job. And she just seemed to just really enjoy being in the quiz and was, you know, so relaxed and talking to you about lipstick. But I loved that the Satellite Sister and Mr. Hood did what it always does. It supported a Satellite Sister. Like when Nancy wasn't sure whether the answer was cats or not, you know, I mean, she was getting the love and the support from the Satellite Sisterhood, because I could see that live chat going crazy. Cats, or blueberry muffins, just say blueberry muffins. You know, they just, as always, the Satellite Sister, Mr. Hood, was lifting Nancy up and supporting her when she needed it most, right?
Yeah. She did a great job, but you just helped her so much. That's what it was really fun. So it really felt like the whole group was participating in the trivia contest.
Yeah. We did not anticipate that.
Yeah, we did not. That was fantastic. Yeah. And when you look back at the group, because they sent us the text from the group chat, really, when you see like 20 in a row that says, Leon's husband.
That was good.
Very fun.
That was good. I like that. I would say another thing we didn't anticipate, I mean, you know, we know our sisters, Sheila and Monica. We were happy that, you know, they were back. The lab rats were back. But I have to tell you, I'm going to just use that word, gobsmacked, when I saw those paws go up on the screen to have visuals. We've got, other than being in the studio with them, I really think they did an awesome job with their visuals and the paws. What do you think?
Yeah, I feel like we have never, you know, being a radio show / podcast, we've never really developed sight gags, right? That's not in our medium, in audio, no need for sight gags. But Sheila, as a teacher and tutor, obviously knows that to keep people entertained, there needs to be some fun stuff going on the screen. So when those two paws came up from both of them on the little tongue depressors or rollers or whatever they were, oh my God, I almost lost it.
Yeah. That was, we didn't know that was coming. They kept that as a surprise. They told us there were going to be some surprises in lab rats, but that was certainly a highlight. I have to say the SASE Awards, it's hard to express how important the people are that we honored in the SASE Awards, how important they've been to Satellite Sisters, mm-hmm. how yes. they have helped us, how they have shaped our show, shaped the sound of it, that they have been so supportive. They've been there with us thick and thin. They've seen us through, helped us through, you know, all the technologies that we have gone through in the last 21 years. So it was just lovely to have everybody join us for the celebration, didn't you think?
Oh, very meaningful. Well, you saw, I choked up. I mean, I really just lost it. Yeah, they made work so fun. You know, that's what your colleagues are for. Like, yeah. I mean, yeah. I like working with you guys, but we liked working with other people we weren't related to, too.
Yes.
They were key. Yeah. When the question was, what's kept you together for 21 years? And maybe it's outsiders, I think, is actually the correct answer to that.
That's funny. But, and then, you know, I know someone asked this and just, it was for me, one of the really nice moments was actually after the end of the show, we had arranged, the five sisters had arranged like, okay, let's do our own little after party Zoom call. So Liz sent out a Zoom link and we were joined by Corny Cole and Sarah Sweeney also joined us. And it was
and Heather Moran from
6th. Oh, and Heather. Oh my gosh, yes, and Heather Moran, and we just to really take in the moment, to take in all the love that you gave us, you know, all the support that over 1,100 of you, it showed up. And Leon, because she has two screens and she likes to always tell us she has two screens, was starting to read some of the Facebook posts and, you know, and just to hear and, you know, or see your comments, see your pictures. It just was such a wonderful feeling, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was great. Yeah, it was great. I mean, right. We needed a little decompression chamber, but also just to relive it because it was really fun. It was really fun. Very mm-hmm. special.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, speaking of like sight gags and the difference of being able to see us versus hear us, I did enjoy this room raider aspect of what happened also. And people commenting on each of our settings were very different and I think very unique to the sister. Which was great. I did want to explain mine a little bit because there were people, as you know, if you heard the episode where I said I was going to recreate the Cooking with Liz set, you know, that's what I did. But apparently there were people watching the show who were not familiar with Cooking with Liz. And so there was some questioning like, what are those pink sticky notes in the background?
Oh, okay.
What is happening here? So I had saved all of my pink sticky notes for all of the Cooking with Liz episodes for the, you know, ultimately, obviously, there's going to be a Cooking with Liz cookbook, and I wanted to have all of my sticky notes reminders. So I had those available to put some of those on, including one that kept falling down, Julie, so I couldn't get it to stick, was the one that said, no prop knives. But it made me laugh every time I looked at it. But everyone's backgrounds were really good. But also, I was sitting on, when I shot Cooking with Liz, I have a tall white chair in my kitchen, and then I would put two FabFitFun boxes on top of that, and my laptop on top of that. Well, now that I'm sitting on the chair, because obviously I can't stand up, then I had to put my laptop was on top of the microwave. So I'm on the chair, my leg is dangling down, old lefty there. I made the mistake of putting lefty in a sneaker. I had shoes on both feet because I had walked in on my crutches, and then my leg dangling down, like trapped in that sneaker. My God, about halfway through, I was like, I should take off my shoe, but if I lean out of the frame, it's going to look so weird. So my little behind the screens moment is the first thing I did when we all turned our camera off is like rip that shoe off my left foot so that I could just return the blood flow to lefty. So that was a tactical error on my part that I won't repeat. So anyway, whatever. And then the other thing I learned is that I never knew I was such a lipstick influencer. I mean, it's not as meaningfully and as being a skinfluencer. But not only that, Nancy had her Bobbi Brown Cassis stick right there to show us on camera, but many of the people in the chat seem to be, you know,
yes,
lipstick on point in the chat. So there hasn't been much call this year for the wearing of the lipstick because of, you know, the wearing of the masks. So now putting on lipstick is kind of a big deal because it means you're not wearing a mask for whatever this event is. So anyway, I enjoyed that. I feel good knowing that people were really making an effort with their lipstick. That makes a party. I think that makes a party. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah. Well, we had a lot of comments from the actual chat about the lipstick and the rooms. You're right. All the sisters have a 10 out of 10 room raider background was a chat. All the backgrounds are winners. Well done. Let's see. Carol wanted to shout out, you Dolan chicks have wonderful hair. I think we were across the board having good hair nights. I have to say that's important. Let's see. What else? Oh, this made me laugh. Beckett of the History Chicks. I showed a critical photo from People magazine and where I'm standing up in a boat. And Beckett actually wrote, my mother actually cut that boat picture out and mailed it to me. This is something you would like, she said.
That is
unbelievable.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. Julie, you were going through a list of all the things you've been right about. And Leslie wanted you to know you've also been right about TSA lines at the airport.
Okay.
And your quote on how to deal with adult children. I am sure you will make the best decision.
Right.
June loves that quote. She said she uses it both with her 80-year-old mother and her adult children. So there you go. Kathy, a lot of high praise for Heather Moran, who did the Q&A. Heather fits right in with the Satellite Sisters. Nicely played. So there you go, Heather, getting some good reviews. And people did really love it, the Sassy Awards, when we had some of the crew on. So great to see all the faces of people we know from the radio and the podcast. And then when we acknowledged that Corny Cole, our executive producer, had actually gone to our family reunion, Marcia wrote, that seems above and beyond to go to a family reunion that's not your family. That's 100% true, Marcia. And Corny did it. That's the kind of executive producer she was.
Well, Leanne, while you were reading the LA Times, I picked up a copy of Women's Health. Maybe you've seen it. Jessica Alba's on the cover.
Oh, I have seen that. Yeah,
she's wearing white underpants, as far as I can tell. I mean, really, I don't know. Okay, I don't know why I picked it up. I guess because it's January, and what am I waiting for? I thought I might be interested in some strength exercises, but none of those look attractive to me. You know, about body goals, happy gut game plan. I don't care about any of that. And I did see an article, and it's about relationships, and it was how to grow as a couple at any stage without compromising your dreams. Okay.
Oh,
okay?
Wow.
All right. I don't even know if I have dreams after 2020, but perhaps so, but I'm all in on this article. Then I read the first line of this article by Alexis Jones, and it's about relationships. First line in is, I am not a relationship expert. I was like, oh, good. This is going to be fine. Okay. So she has some insights, Leanne, about how, you know, sort of how you can be in a relationship and still be an individual. I think that's what she was trying to get at. So first one is that objectives tend to merge in long-term unions. So I was thinking about objectives that I have with my husband, and one is we try not to annoy each other. I mean, that is an objective. How about you? Do you have any objectives that have merged in your long-term relationship?
We try to be nicer to each other.
Okay.
So it's sort of it's the more positive spin on don't annoy each other. Yeah. let's try to be kinder. See, that was one of our goals for 2020. Let's be kinder to each other.
This is it. This is what it's all about, Leanne. We're doing the mind meld, as Alexis Jones says. Ooh. Second sort of insight with relationships that can really bring it to the next level, is they say you should take up a hobby together. Okay, so I don't know what it is about the word hobby, Leon. See that, and I think, like, is my husband going to start playing Mahjong with me? That's not going to work out at all. That's going to be terrible. You do it. I mean, we do things together. We do a lot of things together. We have shared interests, but hobbies? How about you, Leon?
Yeah, no, I mean, I wish he would take up a hobby, but not with me. I mean, so I could get some of my own hobbies in. But I mean, we walk the dog together. That's
okay. That's your hobby. Is there a club for that? That sounds good. Okay. All right. How about this one? Carve out alone time. Okay. Yes, indeed. Okay. And how about this one, which is just made me laugh? Don't rely on your partner to be your source of entertainment. Okay. I mean, 2020, we've been staring at each other. And we are our only source of entertainment.
I was thinking, like, my husband is usually asleep on the couch by like 7:45, you know, because he's been working really long days.
So you are not counting on him for your own source of entertainment. No. Okay. I think in the effort to establish, it is important to have your own time, to establish your me time. Alexis suggests that you have some me time to allow your mind to wander, to embrace new challenges.
Wow, it's hard to write a sentence that's vaguer than that, but she did it. I mean,
what is that? Ooh, my mind's going blank, Leon. I don't want any new challenges. I don't. Okay.
Whew. Yeah.
Okay. All right. How about this? Now, this can really help your relationship. Alone but together activities. So that's, you know, reading books together. Do you do that?
No, he's asleep.
How about staring at your phones? Yes, that's one activity I do alone but together. I thought that was a good one. Do you have an activity?
Well, we work out in the garden a lot, but my gardening and his gardening are separate activities. He enjoys chopping and removal, where I enjoy nurturing and planting. So that's what I would say. So, yeah. So we're out there in the yard together, but we have very different
Okay, jobs. That's good, Leon. Yeah. That's good. Okay. And finally, Alexis suggests don't avoid disputes. Now, she writes this as if, like, she has never had a dispute in her relationship. And I'm pretty certain, Alexis, you're going to have some disputes coming up if you're in a long-term relationship. And she's saying it's healthy. It's healthy to, you know, to voice your differences, that you shouldn't bury it. You shouldn't have resentments and grudges. And this is really going to help your relationship.
Yeah, I don't know what that seems like. It seems like she's 22 writing that. Like, so, yes, I mean, you and I are like decades into our marriage. So
she said we should try to think about our single life. And I was like, I don't think I had a single life. I don't remember being single.
No.
I don't know. I don't
I'm
know.
I'm with okay. you.
Anyway, but it's all there. So if you do not want to do any of the strength, cardio, or abs that are recommended by Jessica Alba in this month's Women's Health, please check out this mind meld relationship guide for you. Some great insights, Liam.
Really some great tips. Thank you. Thank you.
I would like to give a $5 shout out to a group of women that I'm just going to call the Mod Squad. And let me explain what the situation. Saturday, I went out to lunch with some of my friends. It was delightful. Had a delightful lunch. I was leaving the restaurant. I had my mask on and I was walking in the parking lot and I took my mask off on my way to the car. But I was wearing a pair of small gold hoop earrings. And as I took my mask off, one of my earrings got caught in that motion of taking the mask off and it popped off and it fell in the parking lot. Okay. So I heard it. I was just standing there staring down, you know, trying to find it. Yeah. When lo and behold, the mod squad drives up. This is a carload of women. Okay, I'm going to call them my older sisters, okay? But they're all dolled up, and they come screeching to a halt. They roll down their windows, okay, in the car. They're like, what happened? What happened? Okay, they just wanted to get involved. I said, oh, I lost one of my earrings. You cannot believe the empathy coming from this carload of women, okay? They were like, oh my gosh, that is the worst when your earring happens, okay? They're blocking traffic. There are cars behind them, but the mod squad doesn't care. And then they say, let us get out of the car and we're going to help you find your earring, okay? Because there's nothing worse. Is there, sisters?
No, it's terrible. Yeah.
Earring? I mean, you're just bitter about it for the rest of your life. It,
right. That's true.
That one earring sits in your jewelry box.
Yeah.
And you remember that day. Okay. Well, the mod squad wasn't going to let that happen to me. Okay. They were all in. Okay. And so the women get out of the car and they are like hunting for this earring. And I found it. And then there were cheers all around. Okay. Then the mod squad got all back in their car, rolled up the windows and tooted at me and went on their way.
Oh, they weren't even staying for lunch? They, wow.
No, I think they had already been to lunch. It was a great Mexican restaurant. They may have even had a margarita or a mambo taxi, which is the special cocktail of this restaurant, which is a frozen margarita with a swirl of sangria in it. I don't know. Perhaps they had one of those. But the mod squad was, they were just the best. Okay.
Yeah.
That just made my day. I was like, they were so helpful, found my earring. And now every time I wear this earrings, I am going to think of that group of women and just how they came to my rescue.
That's a fun story, Jill.
That is satellite sisterhood in action, right there.